David Reneke. DavidReneke.com, great website. I love chatting to the man even more because he knows everything about what it's like to gaze into the night sky. And if you are thinking of a Christmas gift like no other, telescopes, David, and you're the man to tell us all about them.
Yeah, g'day, Bilko. Yeah, it is that time of year, isn't it? And, you know, I've been fielding these questions all through the year. I mean, people constantly querying, you know, where can I buy a telescope? And it's obvious to me that this is an area that not many people know much about. It's foreign to them, you know. Like walking into a used car yard, you know nothing about cars and you don't know how the system operates. So here we go. Here's some advice to your listeners. Looking at buying a telescope for Christmas, I can only assume that if they are doing that, the obvious reason would be for somebody, maybe somebody younger, who might want to start a career or get... Yeah, that's what can happen if you buy a telescope. It might start them on a science career. It started me off a long time ago, a little telescope that was given to me. But in those times, you couldn't really order anything online. There was no such thing. You just had to go buy catalogs that came in the mail or whatever somebody offered you secondhand. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with a secondhand telescope. Go to Marketplace or have a look. The hardest thing to sell is a second-hand telescope, as a lot of people find out.
Can you be assured the lens is top-notch and hasn't been scratched? Is that...
No, they don't. Look, in all the years I've been dealing with telescopes, and I've bought and sold quite a lot, I can only probably pick two or three at the outside that weren't worth picking up, and they were just dilapidated and left to rot and dust away. But most telescopes are bought by people, not all of them, but a lot, bought by people who have an inclination to go and do a bit of astronomy. Maybe they've been to an observing night somewhere. Maybe there's something on TV that sparked their interest and people are talking about it. And out they go and they buy it. And then after a little while, it wears off. They don't know what to look at. You can find the moon okay, but what now? But there are a lot of apps out there that can help you and point you in the right direction. It's like having somebody like me out there with you. First rule is this. There are three main points to remember. Never buy a telescope if you're serious about giving it to somebody under $300. It's going to be too cheap.
Right, okay.
If the person is 8 or 10, that's where I change my attitude on this a little bit. Getting a cheaper telescope wouldn't hurt at that age because their whims and their fancies change so quickly anyway. But somebody in the 14 to 15, maybe up to 20-year age bracket, get something decent, and that something decent will come in a package a bit over $200 or $300, depending on where you go.
Which is for Christmas is okay. That's a good price to pay.
That is a good price. $250 to $300 is probably your baseline. That's from a shop. Now, when I say a shop, don't buy from a department store. They're always on display this time of year. You'll see them in catalogs too displayed. These people don't know this product. It's a special instrument. It's a scientific instrument, and they don't know about it. They can sell it to you. They can tell you, oh, a lot of people buy them. That doesn't mean it's good. Get some advice from a camera shop or a telescope shop who can point you in the right direction. There are different sorts of telescopes for different uses. And number three, we live in a commercial world now. Everything is jazzed up. Everything is made to look better than it really is.
Yeah.
We're getting used to that now. I mean, when you look at a telescope box, be careful that you don't get taken in by the big glossy photographs on the box there. You won't see the rings of Saturn like you see them on the box in brilliant colour. You won't see Jupiter like that either, blowing up as big as it is with the bands and the giant red spot. You won't see all that. You will see them quite okay, but they'll be very tiny and there'll be no colour. The human eye doesn't see colour through a telescope all that well anyway. So there you go. Watch out for that. And by the way, if the telescope is sitting on the showroom floor or anywhere you can look at it assembled, pick it up and see how heavy it is to pick up. If you can pick it up with one hand, put it down and go somewhere else. If it feels light to you, be careful because that's going to wobble in the breeze a lot.
Okay.
And be careful of this one. This is very important. There are two types of telescopes. There's the reflector telescope with a mirror in a tube, and there's a refractor. These are the two different sorts. The refractor is like the spyglass we used to on a tripod that you see. They will keep everything up the right way. Telescopes invert the image. Astronomical telescopes turn the image upside down. So astronomers don't care if they're looking at upside down image of the moon or the star or whatever. They're just after clarity. And the more glass you've got in there to convert it up the right way, the less you're going to see. So a reflecting telescope is one that has a mirror in a tube there. They're quite good. They perform very well indeed. And dollar for dollar there, you'll get a bigger telescope if it's a reflector. Now, if you go for the refractor and you want to do some daylight viewing, that's the way to go. A refractor, the one that you set up on a headland to watch the whales or whatever you want, ships in the ocean or bird watching,
They
will keep the image up the right way for you. There's nothing more annoying than buying a telescope and you take it out at night time and everything's terrific. You put it in the car and you head out on holidays and you try and use it. People are upside down. You can get a special lens put in there, but it's another cost on top of what you've already bought. So there are two types. My other advice is to people listening to us now on this is to find out if there's an astronomy group or a club near you. Now, if you go along and say, look, I want to buy a telescope, I've not met one person yet in this business that'll turn anyone away from that question. I've done it so many times. I've even gone to the shop. Ask them about it. What do you suggest? If you can do it and you've got some lead-up time between now and Christmas, try and go along to one of their viewing nights. And if you do that, you've got the chance to look through a variety of telescopes. So get some advice before you buy. Be careful of the pricing that you're looking at. If you want to buy a second-hand telescope, I must tell you that they are pretty good in the main. I've not seen a crook one for so many years now. In fact, I've just bought one for $600 that cost $15.
Wow, okay.
The guy just didn't want it anymore. Yeah. So there you go. That's my advice. And I'm always here, by the way, for your listeners, Bill. If they want to ask me a question on that or say, look, I saw this, what do you think?
And you'll find Dave's number on his daverenicki.com website if you need to know more on that. So think about that for Christmas. Start, you know, thinking about putting the orders in and start thinking about if someone is really into it, steer them in the right direction. Anyway, let's talk what's going on in the heavens. Of course, the presidential election is, a lot of people are saying it's in the bag with Biden. Does that mean a change in attitudes towards space? What are you feeling, David?
We don't know. Yeah, this is a good question. The Biden administration haven't announced anything. It's too early. But we do think there's not going to be any substantial changes in the direction that NASA are going in. A lot of people have predicted there will be, but I don't think so. The only thing that worries me about Biden and what he's going to do here is that he's a climatologist. He's looking at combating climate change. It's going to be a priority of his administration. And Trump was just the opposite, of course. The only thing we're concerned about is that the appropriation of money, how it's dished out, may not be as much as what NASA.
Well, they'll probably want to put more money into COVID initially.
Oh, I'd say so, yeah. And also, you know, with climate change, it is allied to the space industry, of course. They use sounding rockets and things like that. But I don't think there's going to be any major change. We're still looking, you know, to go to the moon, et cetera. You've got to give Trump his dues, though. I mean, we just can't wipe the guy off. Love him or hate him. He resurrected the National Space Council. He's also signed 5 different space policy directives that set us on our course back to the moon. He also has a directive to streamline the regulation of the commercial space industry. In other words, make, you know, laws and things that govern what people like space tourism coming up, for instance. And he's also strengthened the cybersecurity for space too by creating the Space Force. So he's done a little bit. There's also, before he goes, which may happen, he did sign an executive order earlier this year to start space mining, allowing U.S. entrepreneurs to get involved with it. So he wants an anti-space, and I don't think Biden's going to be either. We'll just have to wait and see, I think.
All right, more at daverenicki.com on that. Tell me about the God of Chaos in 2068. Is this another potential threat, or is it just someone gazing at the sky and thinking,
Well, it's both, actually. It's another one of these asteroid scares stories, but it's got some reality behind it. This is the one out of everything that we talk about that we're worried about, we're afraid of. It's called Apophis, but they've nicknamed it the God of Chaos. which is what Apophis was in, I think, Greek mythology.
Yeah.
It's getting quicker. It's moving towards us now. It's getting faster. And it's accelerating its speed because of something called outgassing. We call it the Arkosky effect. When you heat something up like that, it radiates heat and energy, and that acts like a propulsion system. So in the vacuum of space, even the tiniest little force will move something. There's nothing out there to stop it. And recent observations being done by the University of Hawaii with some pretty big telescopes there have indicated that it could hit us on April 12, 2068.
In the calendar, so I'm marking it down right now. Okay.
Put it in your diary, yeah? You're going to have to duck. There's a chance, a good chance it won't hit. A lot of things can happen between now and then. If something rams into it in its journey between there and here, it could change direction and the whole ball game would be, a whole new ball game would be in effect, you know. Look, if it did hit, let's have a what-if scenario. The thing's about 300 metres wide, Bill, it's pretty big. And if it came down on the east coast of Australia, it would take Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria out.
Oh,
it wouldn't
what?
Be there anymore.
So is that almost like a dinosaur killer?
Well, it's not as big as the one that hit. The one that took the dinosaurs out was somewhere between 10 to 20 k wide.
Right.
That's pretty big.
Okay.
That's an extinction asteroid.
But three states gone, that's a pretty big blow to this country. I mean, ScoMo will have nothing left.
Well, yeah. The thing is, these things move at incredibly high speed, and they have what's called kinetic energy. Let me give you an example of that. If somebody stood in front of you with a bullet and they threw it at you, wouldn't hurt you. It'd bounce off. You'd feel it. What if it was fired from a gun? You're gone. The difference is the kinetic energy. There's not much kinetic energy thrown at you, but when you projectiles at high speed, which these are coming in at, they do have a lot of whack behind them. So that's what would happen. And to make your nightmares even worse, if this did hit the Earth, it would hit with a force of somewhere between 800 and 900 million tons of TNT in one go.
I can't imagine that. I just can't. Anyway.
Oh. You can't. No, we can't. Because we're used to dealing in small quantities. The atomic bomb, nuclear bomb, nothing compared to one of these. It would make everything we've ever exploded in history pale into insignificance. And that's where nature comes into it. Nature doesn't recognize size, small, big, large, scared, happy, sad. Nature doesn't work that way. It's just as it is. And there are things out there we've talked about, black holes and stars. There are stars that are so big they would encompass our entire solar system.
That's right.
We can't think that. Human minds don't work real well when you get to figures like that. And doing what I do and trying to explain this to people in simple terms and get them to accept it and understand it is one of the hardest things I've come across.
I like one of those.
But you have to understand it. These figures and these things we talk about, you might think I'm an alarmist, but these things are real. These figures are real.
But I like an example you use when you're trying to explain the width of the universe and how far away, say, Pluto is. You'd say, in your backyard, you stand here next to your house. That's where you are. Pluto would be, you know, 6 to 10 km down the road. That's how far it would be. So, you know, when you try and scale it down, I mean, that's just a very rough estimate. But, you know, none of this stuff is really close. That's why those Voyager space probes took so long to get where they got to in the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're dead right. And, you know, that's how it is. The universe is huge. Look, the universe doesn't owe us an explanation of how it is and what it does. But it doesn't recognize size either. When you've got something that's limitless, no end that we can see, no boundaries, no center, everything's just expanding and getting bigger, you can have any size thing you want to. And that doesn't really, because we're used to dealing in small quantities of things, we can't imagine these sort of things out there. It's only when you get involved with this subject and you read on it, and you have a few nightmares and you're down a few little more little white wines than you should, which I've done over the years, by the way, you gradually accept the fact that the universe out there is an amazing place, and it's for us to unravel it and work with it, because that's what it's all about. And these things are out there. We can't turn our head away and say, oh, we're never going to get hit by one of these. Look, we have been hit in the past. Luckily, it's been in mainly prehistoric times, but the one thing we've got going for us now with this story we just talked about, the good part about it is we're the first generation in history to be able to change it. We don't have to sit here and cop it. 100 years ago, if this thing was heading our way, you'd have to just buckle up and wait for the impact. Now we've got the technology, or we will have very soon, to move one of these things. And that's exactly what will happen. In future generations, or decades down the track, when we take more precise measurements on this thing, and if it does pose a problem, we can send a spacecraft out to it with a crew, of course, not to blow it up, but to change its direction by just pushing on it, pretty much like a little tug does in a big harbour, pushing on an ocean liner.
Wow.
You know, that's the sort of things we can do. So we're not sitting ducks anymore. We can actually change. We can change what happens there.
Well, time's got us again, David, but if people are keen to check out other stuff happening at davidrenicki.com, you've got all the seven planets that will be visible in the sky this week. There's a story about the Michigan Fireball meteorite that holds extraterrestrial organic compounds. Hello.
Yeah, go to Tonight's Sky too on the top toolbar. That's something to... on there, once a month, I have Tonight's Sky, Bill Cohen, and it tells you what's up there and what to go and have a look at. But you're right, it's davidrenicki.com, D-A-V-I-D-R-E-N-E-K-E.com. Yeah.